the progress being made regarding talks on Calgary's Events Center. Joining us to talk about what a good deal would look like for the City of Calgary is Moshe Lander, Senior Lecturer in Economics at Concordia University and host of the Moshe Lander Show. Good morning, Moshe. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Well, boy, yes, we're back at it. Looks like we're going to start from scratch and get back to the table and have some talks. Your thoughts about the event center, the deal, the arena deal. You know, is this a step backwards, do you think, or are we on the right path?
Oh, for sure it's a step backward. Are you as tired of this story as I am?
Yeah.
This has been going on for over 7 years. Like, what do you mean we're going back to the starting point? Like, the deal was done 10 months ago, so it's amazing that they're bringing in a third party to bridge what was a really small gap at the time.
Yeah, it's funny how you put it in those terms, Moshe. There's a little bit of, well, for me, obviously in the media, we talk about this quite a bit, but at coffee shops, there is a certain amount of fatigue that happens, mm-hmm. I think, in around any discussion or negotiation. And I think that could be where we're at right now, just worn down, and people just want a deal done, don't they?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, of course, that when the deal is done, we're still going to have to wait for shovels to go in the ground. Mm-hmm. We're still going to have to wait for the arena to be complete. We're still going to have to wait for the Flames to move into the new arena. And we're not even sure what the quality of the team is going to be at that time, that right now they are looking promising. But in 5 years' time, when they move into the new arena, they could be on the downside, hopefully not. And at that point, then, do fans even want to go to the game in that sparkly new billion-dollar arena?
What do you think, Moshe? What does a good deal look like for the City of Calgary and Calgarians?
A good deal is as little public money going into it as possible, and that's what I've been saying now for over 7 years of this discussion. Public money does not pay for itself. So, you know, if we as Calgarians want to put our tax dollars into the arena because we believe in it, hey, that's one thing. But if we want to put our tax dollars into this arena because we believe that somehow we're going to get our money back or we're going to get a return on our investment, we're not. And so I think that that's one of the important things that is always missing from this discussion is what do we want to do with our tax dollars? We shouldn't be waiting for city council, the mayor's office to be telling us how that money is going to be used. We need to be voicing very seriously whether we want to put this money in or not. And that's probably going to help the negotiations too, because right now it seems to be the starting point is like it's going to be a 50-50 split or something. But I don't really ever recall us being asked if that's what we wanted.
Interesting point. To your point, we don't do it for the ROI, but can we look at other arenas, other sports cities that have done it right and had the best deal for everybody involved?
Well, you know, Toronto and Montreal maybe aren't exactly the comparable to Calgary, but they did it with no public funds. They funded their own arenas entirely by themselves, they being the owners of the sports franchises out there. Edmonton, of course, is the one that we in Calgary look at, and it's the deal that I think that we want where, you know, we're saying that we want everything that has happened in downtown Edmonton. But I think the thing to keep in mind is that when we look at that sort of comparable, downtown Edmonton was already undergoing a transformation that when the arena was dropped into it, it just accelerated that transformation. But it wasn't the arena itself that did it. I think the way that we're being sold this new arena idea is that somehow the new arena is going to transform the East Village. That transformation has already been underway for some years now. And so this is not going to be the engine of that growth. And so I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, too, is that when you can, you know, make these comparisons between other cities, what exactly are those other cities already going through by the time that the arena or stadium comes into play?
And Moshe, I mean, we look at the cost of everything has, I mean, when the Flames organization pulled the plug, you know, just whatever, Jesus, seems like 100 years ago, whenever it was, it seemed to be there was a lot of discussion about how expensive everything had gotten and add-ons, et cetera. Well, it's 10 times more expensive now, I would think. So did they put themselves in a bad place by pulling the plug back then?
Yes. And, you know, again, I know I've been talking about this for over 7 years now. And back then, the number was, let's say, in the low 400 millions. Oh, for those days, I can easily see that by the time that this thing is done, given the current rate of inflation and where we sit, you know, economically, this thing's going to be close to $1 billion by the time that, you know, we have opening night. And so the fact that they keep dragging their feet here for whatever, you know, piddly reasons keep this from shovels getting into the ground, the cost is going to come in way over the original numbers. And I think that anybody who's ever gone through a home repair understands that, you know, the original quote is never the final bill. And I think that we're really going to end up paying for it in all senses.
And when you say paying for it, Moshe, it's down the road, but the expenditures and the costs don't end when the building is up. And I'm looking at a meme here that I sent Sue last week that was, you know, making the rounds on social media about one of the food combos in the Ice District, the new arena in Edmonton. The combo is for two cheeseburgers, two bags of chips, and two pops for $55. And the argument is online that that is to help pay for the new ice district in the arena. So technically, if we follow that, we can expect probably the same in 5-7 years.
Oh, yeah. And that's part of the problem, too, with the new arenas that, you know, people in Calgary are probably realizing that they're going to be priced out of that new arena by the time that it opens, right? And so our, you know, public tax dollars are being used for something that we're probably not going to have easy access to. And even if we somehow manage to get our hands on a couple of tickets, once you go inside, the way that arenas have changed is, I know here in Montreal, the rare time that I have to go to a Habs game, I find it easier to get onto an airplane than to get into the arena, right? The way that they pat you down and make you go through security, it's not to make sure that the arena is safe. It's really to make sure you're bringing in no outside food and drink, because once they get you inside, they've got you. And that's exactly, you know, monopolist behavior that they can charge those outrageous prices. I would point out, though, that the only reason that they're able to even justify $55 in Edmonton for that type of stuff is because the team at least looks semi-decent. If the team stunk, there's just no way that they could charge you $50, because nobody would want to go in there in the first place and watch that team. So it's because they have two very exciting players on the front line that makes it possible to charge those prices. Calgary then has to make sure that they keep their core together. And yeah, they could be doing the same thing in 5 years.
Let's hope they have water fountains. Well, we're going to be able to afford to drink. Well, it's going to be interesting as we get the talks underway yet again. Hopefully it's not another 7 years, but we'll talk to you through the process again. Thanks so much for your perspective, Moshe.
Anytime.
Thank you, Moshe Lander, economics professor at Concordia University.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.